الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله صدق الله العظيم Respected ulama, brothers, elders and friends, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and durood salutation be upon His most beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The 1st of December, world over, is commemorated as World AIDS Day. The reason for having a World AIDS Day is to create awareness globally of this pandemic of HIV and AIDS. If we just dwell a little on history, the first related case of HIV and AIDS was in the early 80s in the city of Los Angeles, USA. Till today, approximately 36 million people have died of HIV and AIDS. Presently today, globally, 35.3 million people live with HIV and AIDS, of which women constitute 47%. Inevitably, when a person is discussing HIV and AIDS, there has to be figures. There has to be statistics. And when we have these statistics in front of us, then we can see and we can open our eyes and become aware of this pandemic. In 2012-2013, UNAIDS, the organization or the wing of the United Nations, UNAIDS, had a conference in South America. And in that conference, the Deputy Secretary General initiated a program that by 2030, by the year 2030, there should be either a total decline in the numbers of people that are living with HIV and AIDS. In other words, zero tolerance. By 2030, globally, the number of people that are infected with HIV and AIDS should be zero. From the time in 1997, recorded the highest number of people living with HIV and AIDS, 1997. From 1997 to now, there has been a 21% decrease in the number of people living with HIV and AIDS. And this is important to note, that from 1997 to now, there has been a decrease of 21% of people living with HIV and AIDS. Nonetheless, 2.3 million people have become newly infected in 2012. 1.6 million people have died in 2012 with being infected with HIV and AIDS. 300 people daily, globally, are infected with HIV and AIDS. In 2012, 260,000 children have become newly infected with HIV and AIDS. So globally today, 35.3 million people live with HIV and AIDS. To date, 36 million people have died through HIV and AIDS. Nonetheless, we ask ourselves, why should we, as Muslims of South Africa, be discussing HIV and AIDS? Probably 10, 15, 20 years ago, somebody was standing here and in telling us about drugs and drug-related cases, drug abuse. And what was going through our mind, it will never happen to us. It will never come to our communities. It will never enter my home. The elderly among us would indeed relate to this, that indeed this did cross our mind, and we did say that it will never happen to us. And probably today, we might be saying or thinking the same thing. But 20, 15 years down the line, would we be saying the same thing as we had said to drugs and drug abuse? So why should we as Muslims of South Africa be discussing HIV and AIDS? Again, we don't want to bore you with the stats, but we have to inform you about these stats. Sub-Saharan Africa, which we are a part of, South Africa, Botswana, Malawi, Lesotho, Swaziland, etc., constitutes 68.5% of global figures. In other words, 68.5% of the global figure of 35.3 million people living with HIV and AIDS come from sub-Saharan Africa, of which we are part of. So over two-thirds of the number of people globally living with HIV and AIDS come from sub-Saharan Africa, come from South Africa and neighboring countries. Global perspective, we are just less than 6% of the global, or we are just less than, we are just over two-thirds. If we break this number down, just less than 6% of the total South African population is living with HIV and AIDS. 6.3%, of which, from the age group of 15 years and older, just less than 6 million South African males are infected with HIV and AIDS. 3.5% women, 360,000 children, and 200,000 people died of HIV and AIDS in South Africa alone in 2012-2013. 2.4 million orphans live with HIV and AIDS in South Africa. And the thing to note is that globally, the figures are coming down. Globally, people have realized that HIV and AIDS is a problem. The other thing discussed in the UN AIDS initiative is that there are two reasons for the global figures to come down. There are two reasons for global figures of HIV, people infected with HIV and AIDS to come down, to decrease. Number one is education. People are educated about this pandemic. People know about this pandemic. People know with regards how to treat people that are either infected or affected with HIV and AIDS. Number one, education. Number two, medication. Even people living in rural areas have now access to medication. And this has brought the number of people living with HIV and AIDS globally down. Unfortunately, our South African numbers are stagnant. From 1997 to 2008, 2008 to 2012, 2013, our numbers are stagnant. Our numbers are not coming down. The same number of people that were infected 3, 4, 5 years ago, we have the same numbers today. So as South Africans, our numbers of people infected with HIV and AIDS are not coming down. And if you look at the stats more carefully, with regards females from the age of 25 to 35 or 25 to 45, these numbers have actually increased. So from 1997 to now, global figures have decreased by 21%, but South African figures have not decreased. We are stagnant. So there is a problem. The second reason why we should be concerned is that people that are most at risk of becoming or being exposed to HIV and AIDS are those that have more than one partner, more than one illegal partner over the past 12 months. They are at risk, or they are more at risk to contracting HIV and AIDS, to being affected with HIV and AIDS. Another reason, the ever-increasing level of promiscuity among our society, the growing number of drug addictions, all these increase the number of people that are infected with HIV and AIDS. In the AIDS program, they have an ABC. A is for abstinence, B is for being faithful, and C is to condomize. Our philosophy, the Muslim AIDS philosophy, is A, abstinence. Stay away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't go near zina. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing adultery, He is informing us, don't go near the avenues that will take you to adultery. We are not even at the problem of adultery. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explicitly informing us that don't go near the doors or the avenues that take you to adultery. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. So our policy is abstinence. Stay away. We don't have a policy of condomize. No. Our policy is be faithful, stay away. Abstinence. Total abstinence. Number three, there are many people that contract this disease not through their own accord, not through their own actions, but they become infected through mother-to-child transmission, through contact with contaminated blood, or through an innocent spouse. Through an innocent spouse being infected by his or her partner. We therefore need to deal with the prejudice that stems from the lack of knowledge. If we know if somebody is infected with HIV and AIDS, it may not be because of his own doing. It may not be because of his behavioral pattern. So we need to educate ourselves and remove this prejudice that stems from this lack of knowledge. Number four, our silence or indifference towards this pandemic of HIV and AIDS within our Muslim community wrongly creates an impression that AIDS does not exist within our community. Because of our silence and our indifference towards HIV and AIDS, it creates an impression that HIV and AIDS is not within our community. This is incorrect. Our indifference also stems from the belief that if we show compassion towards someone that is infected with HIV and AIDS, this serves as some sort of tacit tolerance towards practices that leads a person towards HIV and AIDS. In other words, if we show compassion to somebody that is infected with HIV and AIDS, it does not mean that we have now accepted this person's behavior, accepted this person's immoral behavior through which he has contacted HIV and AIDS. No. There are unfortunately no reliable figures with regards to the number of Muslims in South Africa living with HIV and AIDS. However, through our medical practitioners, we come to know that there is an increased number of people infected and affected by HIV and AIDS. Our medical practitioners have informed us, have informed the Muslim AIDS program, that there is an ever-increasing number of Muslims that are infected or affected with HIV and AIDS. And remember, we are not an island unto ourselves. What affects the community out there affects each and every one of us. We cannot insulate ourselves from this pandemic. This is a global pandemic. This is a national pandemic. We have a religious responsibility and a social responsibility, a religious obligation and a social responsibility to do something, to help the poor, the needy, and the sick. HIV and AIDS is not only a medical problem. It is a community, it is a social problem as well. It affects the breadwinners of community, of society. It affects women and children. It affects the guardians within the home who look after the orphans and children. So it is not only a medical problem, it is also a social problem. It is also a financial burden upon government. It is a financial burden upon the taxpayer. Approximately just over 800,000 people in South Africa receive ARVs. What can we do as Muslims of South Africa? What should we do? Number one, we should educate ourselves. Accurate information will help control the spread of the disease. Accurate information will reduce the fear and discrimination associated to HIV and AIDS. And accurate information will challenge the myths surrounding HIV and AIDS. Number two, we need to display compassion. There are many Muslims infected with HIV and AIDS. They are but somebody's son, daughter, brother, and sister. They are invariably our sons, our daughters, our brothers and sisters. We have to show compassion towards them. They are indeed those that are infected or affected by HIV and AIDS. They are part of community. They are part of our community. So we need to show compassion. And we should not shun them, because indeed they are fellow human beings who need to be reassured of the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Say, O my servants who have transgressed against their souls, do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgives all sins. He is oft forgiving, most merciful." So let us not shun them. Let us show them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is compassionate and merciful. Three, we need to become instruments of positive change. We need to become bold advocates of abstinence and equally bold abstinence of rampant promiscuity. Four, we need to show that we care. If we display compassion to those that are infected and affected, those people will become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to lend support to innocent children who have become victims of circumstance. So we need to show care and compassion. We need to take a lesson from the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy to the worlds. We need to mirror this character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam of being a mercy to the worlds. And we should always remember the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that those who are kind and considerate to Allah's creatures, Allah bestows His kindness and His compassion and affection on them. If we show kindness to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will invariably show kindness to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to take part in the Muslim AIDS program, to be compassionate, to be kind, and to educate ourselves with regards to this pandemic. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.